Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man. Well, I've missed you guys. It's always an honor to come stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God. You know, I always love when Pastor Becky and John even give me the nod. I'm like, come back to Central and preach? Come on. That's like going home, working out on your own home turf. I love it. And, you know, I do want to honor your campus pastors. They're amazing people. If you didn't know, God has blessed them with a new house that they're moving into before we head off to Australia. And, you know, they're doing so many great things, just pressing in and believing for this campus. You know, you guys are the campus that seeds so many other campuses. And this is where I started, right here, 12 years ago. So, you know, so I wasn't, well, my mom would argue. She's like, you were born a preacher. But no, that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I got to give it up. This is Connor Mead. Come stand right here, Connor. Come on. This is one of my Northians. For those of you that don't know me and like, man, you leave here and all of a sudden you know, forget about you, out of sight, out of mind. I see how you are. But I'm my wife and I get to do North Campus, and we love North Campus. It's been a blessing. We're taking ground and building, so thank you for joining with us in prayer. But this young man is one of the fine young men at North Campus that I've got to be around. You know, and I just saw those names, and this is the only campus that live streams. So listen, if you're from Minnesota and you're single, fly out here and meet my man. 21 years old, single and ready to mingle. Listen, it's snowing in Minnesota, so get on that plane and I'll set you up on a free date. I'm gonna pay for it. I'm believing you're watching right now. And he's an amazing man of God. He's waiting for you. All right, there you go, there's your shout out. Just so you know, I'm a gold digger. That's just a reminder all night long because I didn't come down here to preach for myself. I came down here to see salvations, to see the miraculous, to see stuff broken off. I believe in the power of God, the power of ministry, revelation. God said some things, but how many know God is still saying some things? So I didn't want to come down here with a sermonette because I'd be doing myself a disappointment and my pastor. And I'm telling you, there's too many things on the line for us to play small. And so if we're going to set some goals, let's set some goals for breakthrough for each and every one of you tonight. Some of you are staring at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, oh, yeah, that guy up there, what does he know? Yeah, let me tell you what I know. I came in here broken. I came in here spending money on things I shouldn't have been spending money on. Would sit there right there in the front and second row, hungry. Wasn't serving. I just came in to get healed, and I got healed, restored, set up. Serving, started giving. Hello, that revelation. So I grew up a lame Christian my whole life and then finally decided I didn't want to go on my parents' coat feathers anymore. I know my mom's watching, so I'll tread lightly. Mom, you're amazing. Thanks for praying for me. But listen, I showed up here and said, I got to have my own faith. Got my own revelation, my own breakthrough. So I'm standing up here because God took me on a journey and I'm going to preach out of someone that inspired me out of the Bible. I was going to preach this at East Campus, and I started it, and then God took a left turn, and how many know it's good to follow God? So I went with him, and now I'm going to really preach my message tonight. So let me pray before we get started. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for all the people in this house right now. I thank you for all those people on live stream. God, you're ever present. You're in that house. You're in this place. You're in our heart. You're in our mind. So God, we lean in. Sometimes
we don't understand what you're doing, but God, we want to listen and hear your voice. Do something fresh tonight. We give you honor. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, you could all be seated. You know why cows are broke? Because those farmers milk them for all they got. It's kind of funny. I was going to tell you a joke about pizza, but it was way too cheesy. Yep. You guys are funny, man. You know that fish get high, right? A lot of seaweed. That one was for Pastor Becky because I know she's watching. That just freaked her out. She goes, oh, I can't believe you just said that. Yeah, I did. I knew you missed me. I'm wondering, sometimes I knew because my wife and I service led the 8:30, and then, you know, you when you get sent, now I'm starting to wonder if they just tell me to went. You know what I mean? Those jokes, they couldn't handle them. Like, please go to North. You can have fun in church, people. Come on. Don't even make me come down. If I see you folding your hands, I'll jump off the stage, run to you, lick your forehead. Oh, I'll do it. You ask my wife. I've done crazier things. We're going to get breakthrough tonight if I have to lick your forehead to do it. Because don't worry, Pastor Liam will come in and preach on being unoffendable. Point four. You can podcast it if you want. She just preached it at North this morning. It was good. So I figured, you know what? I'd want to tell you just in case you get offended tonight. Just podcast her tomorrow. You'll be back next week. Is that a deal? Maybe. So I've been chewing on a couple things, and really I'm going to preach about Joseph's life. But I want to talk about a verse that's now been 3.5 weeks in the making in my spirit. And that means it's not for me. That means it's for a collective group called the body of Christ, called the church. And so whenever, you know, God will give me words and verses all the time, but this one, he hasn't let go from me. And the more that I meditate on it day and night, the more that I keep looking at it, the more God gives me more revelation around it. And I think it's so important as a church. How many know we're 4 campuses on our way to 16 campuses. And when you start to get the culture and the rhythm and the whole church in a pace, we all grow a lot quicker. And that's what God is doing right now. We're in the series called Accelerate. Title of my message is The Accelerated Life. And right on. Look at that shoe game. That's definitely not me. I cannot hop that high. I'm a 1-inch hopper. Mostly because I'm a chiropractor. I don't want to throw my back out. But Joshua 1:8, there's a season where we can all accelerate. Meaning, if we become good financial stewards, we get financial planning, we listen to a couple Dave Ramsey messages, you know, we can get financial wisdom, but that's not supernatural. You know, it's good to have wisdom, and I want us all to have wisdom. But if you told me, yeah, I'm believing for a house, I want you to get financial wisdom. But if in 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you're still saying I'm believing for a house, I'm asking you, have you tapped into the supernatural? Because God in the supernatural is outside of time, and time gets accelerated. Why are we doing this series on how to accelerate your life? Because how many know when you tap into the supernatural, you can accelerate everything you're believing for. If you want to get married and you're single, why don't you step into the supernatural and write down that list? Do everything in the natural you can do, but give it to God. I saw you pointing for your sister there. Good job. Start believing for that spouse, but it's more than just believing. Are you on your knees praying? Are you walking out of your door with a picture of a list and slapping that thing saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I will have that man or that woman in the name of Jesus? What's on your list? If you haven't even written a list, then come on. What you think about, you bring about. If you don't have a list, you're thinking about nothing. Except I wish I had a girlfriend. I should get to my Joshua 1:8 verse. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So first of all, it's talking about get the word on the inside of you. Start prophesying. Where do you start? I would recommend going to Tuesday men's prayer, or Thursday, go to the ladies' prayer. I would just start somewhere. And if you don't know how to declare a thing, get around some men that do. It's called mirroring. You know, people in business do it all the time. They get mentoring. If you don't know how to declare a thing, show up for prayer. Breakthrough number one. That's not even my message, but that was for somebody. You shall meditate in it day and night. If I told you I was going to give you $1 million, but you had to read this book day and night for a year, would you do it? How many of you know if you're in the Word of God day and night, you're going to get some breakthrough in your life? And I know that because I know God's not one to lie. And he later says, for then you will make your way prosperous. So all I got to do is take this word that was law back in the Old Testament, get it in my heart, let God give me revelation, and then I'm going to make my way prosperous. It sounds like a good thing for me. And then that will lead you to good success. That's amazing that we have a Father that wants us to be prosperous and have success. It's amazing. If you go on to read in Joshua, God is saying, be strong and courageous. You know, he's saying that the devil's going to come try to intimidate you. So that's why he wants you in his law day and night. So that when the intimidator comes, you show him what your Nike sole the foot looks like. Some of you think I'm joking. See, I've been on the other side of a weak Christianity that no one told me that I needed to take authority in my life and start telling the devil to back off. If we're going to take territory in San Diego, if we're going to take homes in San Diego, if we're going to take real estate, financial gain, financial breakthrough. See, what you got to understand is that we might all be at different places, but we're on the same journey. And what I used to be playing small, like, listen, I was just hoping for money in my bank account. But then when I started getting wise, started getting more successful and prosperous because I was sitting in church all the time around some of the greatest teaching in the world, I started to see things different because how many knew that I grew? And as I grew, the way I thought grew. The way I pray changed. Everything about who my being was started to shift. So then when I was making money and having lots of money in my bank account, how many know that my condo wasn't enough? I started thinking bigger, so a bigger house seemed right. And then how many know your family increases, your kids increase, and they're like, man, that house, I think I can go bigger. But I had the same problems along the way. I thought bigger. How many know I needed bigger paychecks? I need a bigger dollars. It's the same problem, just bigger. I just talking to a buddy of mine that's almost a billionaire. You know, he was telling me, he told me this crazy idea. And he goes, yeah, man, I just got to find the money. Thinking to myself, man, you got the same problems I do. Just trying to buy a restaurant. You want to buy a city. Same problem, different level. So hashtag, we're all going to level up tonight. So the first thing we do before I get into this preach is, one, let's locate ourselves. Can we do that tonight? Here's what I learned about this church. You don't have to be Christianese. Walk in pretending everything's good. The more real you get, it's called being authentic. The reason I didn't like Christians, the reason I didn't like pastors, is because I just figured they were totally fake all the time. And then when I came to C3, I met Pastor Jurgen. I'm like, that guy can't be real. There's no way he's a pastor. I'm going to hang out with him. 1 year later, this can't be legit. 2 years later, there's no way. He's judging me somewhere. How many know that in the last 12 years going to this church, I've made some mistakes along the way? How many of you know it's great to have a pastor that doesn't judge me, but prays and comes alongside me, walks with me, prays for me, gives me breakthrough, believes in me, prophesies in me, tells me I'm amazing, that I can do it. I used to say that my mom used to lie to me all the time and tell me I was the best. But I realized she just learned how to prophesy since I was 2. It was a revelation. So sometimes I can make mistakes, but Pastor Jurgen has always been there. Pastor Leanne's always been there because they believe in us. Not me. Not just one Michael Hunley. Not just one Charles and Tessa. They believe in us. I've been around 12 years. Check the fruit. You want to come in here? You're going to get uncomfortable. You know why? They're not going to let you stay the same. How many know that's a good thing? If you don't believe that yet, just stay in long enough, because when that seed's in good soil, how many of you know it's going to pop up out of that thing? So I love it. You know, we're turning acorns into oak trees up in here. So be ready. So let's locate ourselves. Number one, there's really five areas that you're in right now. And then I'm going to preach 4 points, give you one little teaching, and then we're going to pray for a ministry breakthrough tonight. Is that a deal? Come on, because I can't let you all stay the same. So the more real you are with yourself, the better this whole thing's going to go. Is that a deal? Good. Number one, you're either subtracting, okay? Number two, you're playing or surviving, okay? Three, you're adding. Four, you're reproducing. Or five, you're multiplying. I'm going to say it again. You're one of those five areas. You're either subtracting, surviving, adding, reproducing, or multiplying. You could think of that in business. You could think of that in church, spiritual. You could think of it in any level of your life. In relationships, you're the losing friends or adding friends. Connect group, wherever you're at. We're all leading somebody, and we're leading them this way or that way. But I want you to locate yourself, because all this means something when you hear me preach about it. I want us all to be either reproducing or multiplying. Amen. Something positive, uplifting with the culture of C3. That's the one thing around here is when you give a prophetic word, it's to line up with the word of God and edify your spirit. It's to lift you up. Amen. So when you prophesy over people, I want it to multiply, that they'll learn how to prophesy in a healthy way. And when you pray for people, they'll learn how to pray. That is why iron sharpens iron. You get around prayer, things happen. Four things I'm passionate about. Prayer is one of them. Power of God is two of them. Evangelism is three. And four, could be a couple things. Yeah, prosperity. Come on, marketplace, leadership. I mean, I just merge it all in. But listen, I love these questions because they'll help you frame it. Are you learning about the faith of God? That was my past. I was the guy learning about the faith of God. Or I was having the faith of God. We're a having the faith of God church, if you didn't know that. I grew up learning about it, but I never had it. That's a shift. Second question, you're learning what Jesus did. I mean, these are all great stories. Or you're doing what Jesus did. I want to be the doing what Jesus did. We're either hoping someone gets a miracle, or we're declaring someone has their miracle. It all matters how you position yourself. So, two laws of learning, by the way. Number one is the law of recognition. First, we got to recognize where we're at, so then we can move from there. The second one is repetition. That's the second law of learning. So one, we've got to, first of all, understand it, recognize where we're at, and then we got to repeat a thing. That's as it says in that Joshua 1:8, be in the book of the law, my word, and it shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. That's repetition. It's the second law of learning. How do you get this in your life and apply it? You get in it. You get around people that are in it. Your circle matters. What you do matters. So the story of Joseph, why do I want to talk about it? Man, he was the firstborn like I was. He was the favorite child. My brother's probably watching. Come on. I love you, Michael. That's okay. But he was spoiled. Have you guys ever heard about the Technicolor dream coat? He's walking around with favor, kind of showing it off to his brothers. Okay, and if you don't know the story of Joseph, I get to read it once a year, because how many know I make it through the book of Genesis on my 1 year Bible reading? I'm joking, people, man. Breaking off a religious spirit tonight. Come on. I usually make it to 2 Kings. But I love it because he was a dreamer. How many know he had dreams for his life? He was walking around and he was always dreaming. You know, he had a little skip in his step and everything, but his brothers didn't like it. But he was a young kid that thought he had it all together, and finally his brother said, I had enough of him, and they sold him to slavery. Told his dad he was dead. It's a powerful story, and there's a lot you can glean from it. And so every year, it's funny that God reveals something more to it. And this year especially, it might be the season that I'm in, But man, I never thought that I'd be preaching the word of God at a North Campus. It's like, you know, you're responsible, you know? It's like, oh, shoot, people want prayer all the time. It's a lot of pastoral meetings. I'm just like, a lot of caffeine. Everywhere I go, someone hands me a flat white. Dr. Matt, can you slow down when you talk, please? I'm sorry, I'm on my seventh flat white. What were you saying again? I got the first word. But I love this. Point number one, Joseph's pain was the key to his greatness. I'm trying to help you accelerate, so write these points down. Joseph's pain was the key to his greatness. For 25 years, he was in slavery. 25 years, went off to Egypt, he was a slave. How many know that would not be cool? Let me make it real life for you. See, for, I would say at 15, I started going off the rails. I would say I met Pastor Jurgen when I was 30. Say, so I went 15 years, not 25. How many know I was in my own prison? Doing things I shouldn't have been doing, trying to find stuff that would fill my soul, smoking stuff I shouldn't have been smoking, dating girls I should have been dating, helping build some of the best nightclubs in San Diego that I shouldn't have been building. They've never given me a paycheck, by the way. I tell you that because I had one reaction. Joseph had another. It's an amazing man of character. But it says the Lord was with Joseph in Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home as of his Egyptian master. See, I might have been a slave to the world, but man, I had a heart that wasn't right. One thing about Joseph, he never let his heart get bitter. But in that pain, he still was finding greatness. He still was finding purpose. He wasn't a victim. He was finding, what am I going to do with my life? But he was forging meaning in his life. It's amazing that we can think and try to apply meaning, but meaning is forged when you're in the fire. And it's so important to know this because in Genesis 39:6, it says, Joseph had to learn to work because daddy was no longer around him. That's not what it says. You know what it says? Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he had owned. You might want to know what understanding is, but see, when you're a spoiled brat kid, you can have that mentality. It's called entitlement. You can go on around thinking you're entitled all the time, but then you're never going to get breakthrough. Entitled people don't get breakthrough. But here's a kid that went from the spoiled firstborn into a slave, and he let go of entitlement. And Potiphar saw something on him, and Potiphar gave him everything while he was in jail. He got blessed. It's amazing to think about that. You can be in your lowest place and still be blessed if your heart's right. Doesn't matter your circumstance, but it does matter where your heart is. It's an important thing. You know, I grew up in a family restaurant. My parents had lots of restaurants. My uncle had restaurants. And what happened was I'd be the little kid. I don't care if I was washing tables, bussing stuff, but I had this sense of entitlement. I'd come out cleaning tables, and then someone would say something, and they'd be like, really? But I, you know, I had a little chip on my shoulder. And the funniest story ever, this girl's, when I started serving tables, she goes, I want 3 ice cubes in my iced tea. I'm like, 3 ice cubes. Yeah, I want 3 ice cubes in my, I was like, okay. And then I was go get her, you know, her iced tea with 3 ice cubes. And she goes, I want a salad with 1 crouton. Okay, wow. First of all, listen, girl, I don't know who you are, but I'm gonna do this one last thing. She goes, you're my server, you do whatever I want. I'm like, okay. Sell it with 1 crouton. There you go, girl. She goes, yeah, I'll take chicken strips. No problem. Chicken strips. Brought them back. Served the chicken strips. There you go, girl. Excuse me, they're frozen. Well, you didn't ask for me to cook them. Be specific. It's true. That's a true story. I had a little sense of entitlement. I had my own cards made one time, and my uncle comes to me, and he goes, hey, I heard you had your own card made for the restaurant. And he goes, what do you think you are? I said, I'm the chief food executor. And he goes, what is that? I drive around to all the restaurants and I eat them and I make sure they're all the same and all the menus the same ingredients and they taste right. And he goes, really? How come you always do it with a girl? Well, I mean, I just figured I'm on a date. I might as well save money and I'm helping your restaurant out. And then I'd walk in and tell the manager, here's my title. Just bring me whatever I ask. Little entitlement. How many know I need a little Joseph lesson right there? Number two, Joseph ministered to others in his darkest time. You know what I love about Pastor Juergen? Here they come over here, leverage everything they had in Australia, sold everything they have to come over here, alone, scared, just to build the church. He's out there wondering, what did I do? Three kids at the time. He's out there going, God, what did I do? I don't know anybody. And the Holy Spirit's like, you got me. And when I loved it, he was ministering to every person those first few years. But who was ministering to him? It was amazing the lessons we can learn because Joseph ministered to others in his darkest time. See, in Genesis 45 through 7, there was this story. And while they were in prison, Pharaoh, the cupbearer, and the baker each had a dream one night. And each of those dreams had its own meaning. But when Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed they were both looked upset. He said, why do you look so worried today? He asked them. He went on to interpret their dreams. One got good news, one got bad news. The reason I tell you this is, I call it PTC, present time consciousness. Here Joseph, in jail, could have been feeling sorry for himself, but two other cats in jail noticed they were having a bad time too. He ministered to them because Joseph was saying right there, even though I'm here, I'm letting let God's gift on the inside of me still be used. Why do I bring that up? It's easy when we can fall victim. It's easy when we could be walking through something that God will give us a word for somebody else. But if you're so feeling sorry for yourself, you'll never deliver that word. There's been many times I didn't want to go to men's prayer. There's been many times I was tired. There's been many times that I had a rough week. But I went anyways, and God was sitting there trying to work on me and talk to me, and there was words that he specifically gave me for other people. Sometimes I folded like a deck chair. Sometimes I stood up, but I remember every time I'd stand up, even when I didn't feel like it, and I'd give that person the word, I'd see him light up. I'd see him get breakthrough. I'd see their life change. I've had multiple testimonies over the years. Like, hey, that one word you gave me set me up for this. That one work, I got breakthrough. That one work, I believed, and I went in and applied, and I got that job. You never know, but if we get selfish like, oh, woe is me, you don't know where I'm at, I'm feeling sorry. I'm talking to mature Christians here. We're all gonna have our day, but God wants us to be bigger. And even when we're going through something, speak life into somebody else. So good for me. You know, it's amazing because we could all say that God has a destiny for us, which he does, but we're the one that applies the meaning to it. See, God has this destiny, but if we apply some meaning in a negative way, we'll never reach that God-given destiny he's called us to walk into. So sometimes we got to quit putting the meaning that takes us out of the game, quit putting meaning on our life like, oh, well, if it was meant to be, it would be. No, no, no. Get around the right people. If you don't have anything positive to say about your life, don't say it. Let someone else prophesy over your life. Let a friend around you lift you up, encourage you, take you through. I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So important. That's why it matters who you hang out with. You know, I love this scary quote. It says, your results are a reflection of you. If you don't like your results, sometimes we got to change the reflection. But don't worry, I won't leave you there. We'll get there. Number three, he stayed faithful. See, he said to the cupbearer, he interpreted his dream. That dream came to pass, and he was with Pharaoh at his right hand. That cupbearer was. And he said, hey, I want to hook you up. He prophesied over him. And Joseph could have made it all about him, saying, hey, all he said was, don't forget about me. That's it. But then guess what happened? He forgot about him for 2 years. Two more years. Honestly, God's given me lots of dreams. I don't want to wait 2 years. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? You don't have to. You're learning from all them in the Bible. Don't do what they did. Accelerate your life. How many know that's why reading's important? I read as many books as I can in business, marketplace, leadership, the Bible, because I can learn from the mistakes of people before me, or I can glean wisdom and apply it to my life. There is a university online we can apply to our life. I've listened to so many of Pastor Juergen's old messages because I apply them in my life. Sometimes I'll hear him in a message prophesy over somebody. You know what I do? Man, I reach up and I grab that thing. I'm like, hey, how many know there's enough for you and me? If you don't, just know there is. Multiple times I said, Lord, I want that prophecy. He says, don't grab it. Stand up and grab it. There's multiple times he said, hey, if you want this breakthrough in your life, I can't believe people don't run down to the front. Man, if I could just be 10% more successful, I'm running down to the front. There is no ceiling over our life except the ceiling we put over our life. So if you don't like your results, change the reflection. Or not. So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of these dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you. You will be in charge of my court, and my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of my entire land of Egypt. So that in Genesis 41, 39 through 41. Why do I say that? Because 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. And that cupbearer goes, oh, shoot, I forgot about my boy. I know a guy. I got a guy.com. I was trying to buy it. Somebody bought it. But don't you love those people say, I got a guy? I got a guy. Well, he had a guy. Called him up. He interpreted the dreams. How many know that he stayed faithful? Even though he was thought he was forgot about, he stayed faithful. He wasn't whinging and whining and complaining in jail, talking woe is me. He just stayed faithful. He was staying faithful where he was at, and he got blessed. And when you might not understand it, Egypt was the powerhouse of the time. Pharaoh, powerhouse. The whole Middle East bowed down to Pharaoh and Egypt. And right here, Pharaoh makes him his number two over all the land. Point number four, he didn't get bitter, he got better. And I'm gonna end on point four, but I wanna just go into a real quick teaching. Because unless I give you application, we stay the same. How many know that is true? And it was funny because God showed me when I was speaking with the interns about a week ago, he goes, why haven't you preached that? I gave that to you. You've used it for all your business, for breakthrough with all the people you coach. Why have you never done that in my house? I gave it to you for my house. I was like, shoot, repent. Ask for forgiveness. How many know you're all good? We just learned how to repent more. Do you know that? That's the secret that's been to my breakthrough. I'll say something stupid, the Holy Spirit will check me. How many know I can just take the check and go on, or I can go, you know what? I repent. God, forgive me. I step back in under his grace and his provision, and I operate out of strength. So many times in the church, they talk of sin, and we get all dirty, and we get guilt and shame. But no, no, no. Don't put such a negative connotation on that word sin. I'm not justifying, but it's easier just to repent. The minute you feel like the Holy Spirit convicts you, conviction is of the Holy Spirit. Shame is of the devil. If you're looking at something you shouldn't feel, you know, look at, you should get convicted. Means the Holy Spirit's right there with you. And then immediately repent. I'm telling you, that's been the secret to my success, is being quicker to repent. My wife pipes off, I pipe off back, shoot, I better repent. How many know I don't want to be on the couch? Okay, just me, I guess. And Charles, because I know he calls me. Bro, let's just repent on three. Let's text. I was joking around in church this morning, thank God for 427 acres that we're going for. And all you men, you can text 555-888 doghouse and we'll all end up down there, set up an RV park, and we're just gonna repent and pray for each other. We'll be home the next morning with flowers. My wife didn't like that joke. You're not leaving anywhere. Okay, babe. It's kind of a joke. It's not a joke. So how do we step up and step out? And then we're going to pray for some people because this is what matters. Whenever you feel your heartbeat going faster, when Pastor Juergen, Pastor John, Pastor Beth, anybody's preaching up here, and you feel it's a word from you, you get a little nervous. Palms get a little sweaty. Heartbeats start, the Holy Spirit's nudging you. Don't sit back, lean in. Go get it. That's where the breakthrough happens. Man, I don't even care. Like, listen, I'm up there running north. I jumped down and got ministry a few weeks ago. Someone came up to me and said, Pastor, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Why? I noticed from ministry time you went and got prayer. Yep. How many know I need it? I'm not going to let the devil put a little pride on me and keep me in my seat. I heard a word that I resonated with, and I ran to the front and said, God, give me some more. As Christians, we can get a little Christianese and think that we've hit our max. But how many know our max is just the next floor of that ceiling after we tear it down, put it under our feet? It's so important. So number one, how do we do this? Or it's an A. Let's give it a letter A. You got to have the intention to grow. You say, I want to grow. I came in this church, I didn't want to grow. So I sat there arms crossed for months. Then one day I said, man, I'm kind of liking all these epic lives I'm seeing. You know, it's like a fruit check. Check the people's fruit. People come in one way, and then I start seeing them become successful, prosperous, joyful, glowing, a light unto the world. Oh, my goodness. I see people that come in one way and leave another. There's some good fruit going on here, and if you want to stick around long enough, you could have good fruit too. Hello. So you got to have the intention to grow. So I must grow to the size of that area. So one, we're going to set the intention. I want to grow. God, I want to hear from you. Okay, good. What's this part B? Involution. It's a function of transformation. The word is involution. It's the act of enfolding or entangling. Your growth now causes action because of attention. So you set an intention, I want to grow. And then you're going to go into a function of transformation, which is involution. C is evolution. This is a circle, by the way. It's the gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. This is where ideas start to come alive. See, what happens is you can come into this church broken or just, you know, thinking you're okay in your job, and then you sit here and go, like, nah, you know what? I'm not okay. I think I want a raise. I think I could own my own business one day. I'm thinking my condo's too small. I want a house. You know what? I came here in a Prius. I think I want a Tesla. What happens when you're around big people? You become bigger. When you're around big people and you have a pastor that says, I'm committed to growing big people, what happens is you cannot stay the same. You'll start to have dreams again. You'll start to have visions again. You'll start to be like, you know what? No, no, no. Back in the day, I wanted to do this. I wonder why I'm okay with playing small. God didn't bring you in this church to play small. He came in this church to get around big people, to stretch you, to grow you, to love you, to speak life into you, to encourage you, to pray for you, to believe for you, to see that marriage restored for you, to see your kids come back. That's what I love about this church. You have pastors that are fighting for you. You have an intercessory team that's believing for you. Isn't it awesome that our pastors have asked people to pray around the clock, 7 days a week for you and I to take ground in this city? Did you know that? You may not even know that there's people praying for you right now, that God would give you and stretch you to walk into those dreams and visions that maybe you had as a kid that are coming back to life. I love it because the expectation is you might be taking stuff off the shelf that you put up there. You thought it was retired. There is no such thing as retirement in the kingdom. Amen. Taking souls till we die, people. Because you know the devil ain't retiring. So the last one is, after evolution, you get results. And then it comes back to that quote, results are a reflection of you. Now you get the bigger idea. See, what happened was, what once was okay, just paying your bills, once that was okay, you started having a bigger dream. And now you say, you know what? I'm not okay just paying my bills. I want to think bigger. I actually want to give to the church. I actually want to donate land. It's hard hanging around with Colin Higginbottom because now we're just talking about, man, why aren't you writing a $1 million check for that land? I don't know. Why aren't you? I am. Oh, shoot, I got to think bigger. You know, it's like, I never thought I'd be giving lots of money to the church. I was just trying to make some money. But then it becomes a kingdom thing that you want to leave a legacy. And you start like, oh, man, I want a building in East Campus for my friends, the Humleys. Babe, let's start getting more creative. I didn't say work harder. I said let's start believing bigger. I said, let's start believing for supernatural rain to fall in provision to go take some buildings. What happens tonight is that you're gonna get stirred up to be bigger people. So let me show you, you go around the circle, you have to have the intention, the involution, the evolution, the results. Now you're bigger, let's do it again. Another revolution, you're bigger. Another revolution, you're bigger. Another revolution, you're bigger. You see people on your team, let's speak life into them. Oh, your team starts getting bigger. Oh, your connect group starts getting bigger. Oh, what was once just you, the Lone Ranger in your connect group, that was five people that start knowing how to pray, that believe, that can prophesy. That five goes to 10. Next thing you know, you have a church. Now I have a North Campus that believes, oh, we can start taking ground. We can take Descanso. We can start believing for radical things. You know, you might be thinking, oh, that's too much. Well, then you could believe for people to get healed. Doesn't always have to be financial. I didn't know I could pray for someone and watch them get healed. I read about it. I knew it was what Jesus did, but I was just learning about Jesus. And then I had a cycle, and then I was doing what Jesus did. And then people were calling me going, hey, you believe in the power of prayer. Can you come pray for me? I'd have to go in with intention that that person was getting healed in the name of Jesus. And then I'd pray for him, lay hands on him, call down fire from heaven and watch him get healed. Then we bring in pastors, evangelism, that have the gifting of healing. I love Andrew Kabbalah. He'd step up in here and pray for people with a new level of impartation. We watch spines straighten out. We watch people get radically healed. And then you hear about these people that go down to different countries and they're praying for thousands of people, and then they gotta bring dump trucks in because wheelchairs are being loaded up and crutches are being loaded up. Why is that not happening right here? Because we haven't cycled around long enough, but we will. How many know that's the desires of our pastor's heart? We gotta start believing bigger as a church. If we're gonna grow big people, let's get bold people. So point number four, let me go back to it because I love it, is that he didn't get bitter, he got better. What do I mean by that? Here he was 25 years in prison, and I land on this because it's so good. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. Hadn't seen his brother in 25 years. Then he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified of his presence. He was the number two in all of Egypt. Then he could have had him killed in a second. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save the lives that God had sent me ahead of you. Is that not spiritual maturity? His attitude. He knew now that God had sent him 20 years before. He had set up his life to save an entire nation. Do you know one person saved a great famine because he used his gift that God put on the inside of him since he was a 17-year-old punk kid, bragging about how he can interpret dreams. But God kept using him and using him and using him because he never let his heart get bitter. He pressed in when things got ugly. He sat in a jail cell, cried out to God, didn't know why, but he trusted the Lord. No matter where you're at tonight, I can tell you, you want to accelerate your life? Start applying those four things that I told you about. Let that wheel spin grow you into big people. Lean in, even if you don't know what God is doing, you gotta trust what he is doing. When you put the right people around you, they can speak into parts of your lives at different parts of the times. They can encourage you. They can get you through that dry season. No matter how broken you feel, no matter how despondent you feel, you may be living the high life. Do you know that you can always go bigger? It's so important to know that God has a plan for each and every one of you in this house. He's trying to bring back to life some stuff. There's no greater privilege to preach on Baptism Sunday. See, maybe some of you have been baptized. Maybe some of you haven't, but I'm telling you, you go down one way, you come up the next, stuff comes back to life. The gray goes away and you start to see things differently. But I'm telling you, at C3, I'm encouraging you. Don't let this be a check-the-box Sunday. Don't just think, oh, it's good, I got my word for the night. No, no, no. Let this be a house of transformation. That's what our pastors have called it since day one, that it wants to be fresh, real, and powerful. That's either a slogan or it will shift something in your spirit. But I know there's people that have been praying and believing that we'd be a church that lights this country on fire. But if we make it all about ourselves, if we got to a place of bitterness, a place of playing small, a place of victim mentality, we can never step into what we're called to as a church. We are the body of Christ, and every one of you matters because it's part of this body. We make up a whole, and when we come together as a whole, we take ground. And I love Pastor Jurgen. He told me one time, and he goes, listen, I want to make sure we grow big people. I don't want the vision to be so fast that we outpace people. If we have to slow down to wait for people to grow into what I've called them, we will do it. That takes a big pastor. It's not about his ego. It's what I love. He's putting people up in here to give a tithe message, to pray, to preach on a Sunday night. It's an incredible place to be as a leader, to follow someone like that, that can trust God enough that says, I'm going to put leaders in your church. Raise them up. Put them in the pulpit. Lord, I don't know them. You're going to get to know them. We're called to disciple and be discipled. If you're not in a connect group, I encourage you to get in a connect group. But as I land the plane, I just want you to watch what comes out of your mouth tonight. Locate yourself. It comes back to that first place. Where are you? Are you subtracting in your life? Well, then get around people that are adding to their life. If you're plateaued or just stuck in your life, lean into people that are adding to their life. And then once you're adding to your life, guess what? That circle is connected to the next circle. See, subtracting, okay, and plateauing aren't even connected to the reproducing. So locate yourself and say, that's it. I want to be bigger. I want to add to my life. I want to multiply. I want to reproduce. I want to be around those people. I want breakthrough in my life. We just got to recognize where we're at. Man, I look back now going, man, I should have recognized quicker. That's why we're in the Accelerate series. We're doing it before Vision Builders. We're doing it before Empower. Pastor Jurgen's trying to accelerate us to get ready for Empower. And how many know Empower goes next level? But he wants to accelerate a church to get us ready because he knows the preachers are coming, these apostles, these bishops, these preachers that are preaching around the world are bringing a specific word for this church, for this time. And we got to be ready. We got to be leaning in. We got to be hungry. We got to be willing to accelerate. God's going to take you where you're at and accelerate you in every area of your life. So let me pray for you as we're going to just pray tonight, and then I'm going to open up this altar. And if you need breakthrough, you're going to run to the front. I'm going to have the ministry team. We're going to get breakthrough. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I first want to locate where our hearts are at. And if you don't know Jesus, Jesus is the Son of God that was sent to redeem the world. Such a crazy thing to think about, that Jesus came down to die on a cross for you and me, for our sins. It doesn't matter what you've done. No sin is too big enough. But Jesus died on a cross for you and me. The devil will convince you for anything else. He wants you, you might come here and you might be getting close, but close isn't good enough. The devil might be whispering in your ear, trying to take you off. Take you out of the game, but I'm telling you, Jesus will lean into you. He'll knock on your door. He's knocking on your heart right now. If you don't have a personal relationship, meaning you don't talk to Jesus, not a decision you once made with just a gesture, but you don't feel like he's a close brother to you, I want to pray that you open up your heart tonight and say, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want to hear my daddy's voice. I want to walk with you. I want to know that you're guiding me. I want all what that guy is talking about. If that's you tonight, I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. If you want Jesus, I see those hands. Come on. Hands up everywhere. Come on, we thank you, Lord. We'll wait. Once I see your hands, you can put it down. Come on, hands up everywhere. Come on, I see your hand up there. Come on, brother. I love it. I see your hand, young lady. The greatest decision you can ever make is to say, God, show me the way. God is our doorman. He's going to walk us through life. You're not a puppet. He's going to put your hand on the door. Whether we open it or not is completely up to you. But he wants to give you the most epic adventure life that you could ever ask for. Is there anybody else tonight? Just raise your hand one quick second. Listen, there were so many hands everywhere. If you could just shoot them up one more time so I can get a count real quick. So I don't want to leave anyone out of this. 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought I saw a fourth one over here. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Is there anybody else? 14. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if we could all stand to our feet, I want to lead you through a prayer tonight that all of us have hopefully done. If not, just do it. It's not about raising your hand, but it is about saying, God, I want you in my life. Jesus, thank you. And I'm going to lead you through that prayer. I want to open up this altar to one of two things happen. The next steps are the most important steps because I don't want the devil taking you out. Spiritual warfare is a real thing, not to intimidate you, but just to get around good people to armor you up. And so we want to give you a Bible if you raise your hand. We want to give you a book called Following Jesus Next Steps. If you've not been baptized, we want to next month get you baptized. We have two things. I'm going to have the ministry team come forward because we're going to break some stuff off tonight. We're breaking off ceilings over every one of our lives tonight. And so after I lead you in this prayer, I want you all to come down that gave your life to Christ tonight. And I want you to tell someone on the ministry team so we could give you those things. Worst case scenario, you got to bail. Somebody's waiting for you in the parking lot. They were too afraid to come in. Go to the response lounge right over here that's all lit up. You go in there and say, hey, give me my word. My name's so-and-so. Let's do this. Set me up right. And then we're going to pray. So let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, Jesus, I give you my life. I want to follow you. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I want to follow you for eternity. Show me the way. Be my Father. Help me. God, I honor you tonight. I receive your free gift of eternity with you. Thank you for dying and raising again 3 days later. I stand in victory tonight as you as my Father. And everybody said, amen. Listen, make sure we get your details because we want to get you connected. If you're not from here, we want to help you find a church. But now's what I want to do. There's some people up in here that are believing for stuff that the devil's been taking and you want it back. And we're going to declare that thing tonight. Any ceiling that you've been facing, I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's just been an intimidation. If you're believing for a new job, if you're believing for your spouse, whatever that is, I want you to come down to the front so we can pray. See, this is called the altar for a reason. This is where things get altered. You might just say, oh, I can stay in my seat and receive the blessing. Sure you can. But when you step out of your seat and come down, things shift in your place and in your life. So I'm going to pray for a thing and then I'm going to ask these ministers, don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. I'm going to pray. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fall in this place and do a move of God. Even the people that are praying for you, they might need to turn around and pray for themselves. I've laid hand on myself a few times. But I'm going to pray right now because we cannot be the church that stays the same. So Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. God, I thank you, Lord, that these people are walking down to the altar in faith, that they want something altered in their life. God, I thank you for the story of Joseph, that you're giving us a picture of how we can be, we should be. God, we break off bitterness right now in the name of Jesus. God, we break off the old, things that aren't of you right now. Every lie from the devil, we break every stronghold. Right now, we declare victory in every area of our life. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're stirring up the gifts. Lord, that you're believing and stretching the hearts and the minds of every believer in this place. God, we don't want to play the same. We don't want to play small. God, we want you to enlarge our territory, our area of influence, Lord. God, I ask that you heal a thing that needs to be healed in the name of Jesus. We break off the spirit of intimidation right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for a church that believes in your power. So God, I pray right now that you're bringing up leaders that want to operate in the gifts at the next level. God, that there's people that are called to pray for people and they will be healed right now. Some of you know that you should be praying for people, but you've been intimidated. The devil has got your tongue, and God tonight is saying, I've released that over you. You're loosed right now in the name of Jesus. You're gonna pray for the sick and they will be healed. There's going to be a boldness that you're going to, a friend's going to call you and say, can you call your pastor? You don't need a pastor. You go to that hospital and you lay hands on them. You anoint them. You're appointed for this generation right now to pray for people, set them free, and get them healed. So God, I thank you right now that you're multiplying your disciples in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.